There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Hello and welcome again to WCN TV. It is Tuesday. What in the world day is it? June 11th. I know it's Tuesday, but it's June 11th already. Can you believe that? It's been cold up here. It's been cold in Wisconsin. I've been looking around at other parts of the country where I know people, and they've all been having really nice weather. But I went to the barber shop today because I was looking like a hippie, and I said, is it ever not going to rain? Are we going to get a day with no rain? But I guess we'll see.
Rob, did you tell him to shave your head and not your beard?
This is it. What you see is what you get. I used to have a full head of hair. It used to be nice.
Yeah, I got you.
And then I started going to Jerry the Barber, who was, well, when I started to go to him, I think he was 81. I went to him about 12 years before I moved out of town, and Jerry knew one kind of hairstyle to cut. He would cut till he ran out of hair, and then he'd stop. And so I guess my hair decided, well, if you don't want me around, I won't be around. So now it is what it is. Anyway, this is one of those days that I have no notes. Last time I was with you, I had a ton of notes. Half of them we didn't get through because we had Dr. Sherry Tenpenny with us. And hopefully we'll have her back to finish off that information. But Coach Dave is with us today. Coach, how are you doing in
awesome, Ohio? Man. Oh, yep. Doing great. Always a pleasure to join you, Rob. Appreciate what you do. You're everywhere, dude. I mean, you're popping up everywhere. It's good stuff because you're prescient. That's a big word I learned when I was in college. Prescient means you see things that others don't see. You're out in front of it. And I just appreciate all you do, bud.
Well, you too. It's good to see you not on the lawnmower today. So,
well, it's Tuesday's usually pretty safe around here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You have your hands full of that. So how are things going in Ohio? What's on your mind?
You know, Rob, all politics is local. We know that, right? And but it's really, really hard to stir up things locally. It's really hard. You know, most of us have got ourselves caught in a trap. And I don't want to make anybody feel bad out there, although I don't really care if I do. Most of us have our foot caught in that Republican good, Democrat bad trap. And really, when we think, boy, if we can just elect some more Republicans, if we can just get those daggone, man, if we get rid of those rhinos, it's always the same thing over and over and over, Rob. I'm sure you've noticed that. And anybody who's really paying attention to the thing has to understand that we look at what's going on with the whole J6 thing and some of our friends who are locked up in jail, and understand that the Republicans haven't done anything to help those God-fearing patriots who showed up and didn't do anything except do what the Constitution gives them the right to do, to peacefully assemble, to petition their government for redress of grievances. And the Republicans have been absolutely silent on that. And it's all part of that, what I call that two-card Monty, that that yin and yang that goes on, that we think that the Republicans are good and the Democrats are bad. And we're beginning to find out, really, it's, as somebody said long before you and I around, Rob, it's actually just two wings of the same bird. And they play against each other and off of each other. And we're on the verge right now because those of us who maybe were a little bit slow waking up, although we're waking up now, we trusted the Republicans. We thought if we could just get the right kind of people in there, man, just get that right Republican in there, that we'd be able to turn this whole thing around. And, you know, John F. Kennedy warned us before he was assassinated that the coming upheaval in America was going to come through infiltration, not invasion. And I think we'd go back to 1963 when he was killed and look at how a God-fearing mom and pop America has been infiltrated. It's unbelievable. Every institution, I don't care which one it is, from the church house to the mouse house to the government to whatever, God's people are no longer in control of stuff, Rob. And not only are God's people no longer in control of stuff, it's like they don't want to be in control of stuff. And luckily, many of us are beginning to wake up. And, you know, I think about a guy like Ray LeBlanc up there in your neck of the woods. And I think of Jim Harrison down here. And we got guys everywhere that are doing the best they can to put their thumb in the dike, a hole in the dike. And we're gonna win this thing. It's just going to be done one step at a time, one city at a time, one school board at a time. But because the task looks so great, doesn't mean we must not engage. We have to engage the fight if we're going to hope for any kind of turnaround at all.
Yeah, you know, I got to look back 12, 16, maybe even 20 years, and I can't recall a single positive thing that's come out of the Republicans.
George W. Bush got us in that war, didn't he?
I guess you got to go back quite a few years. The last time I remember the Republicans doing anything positive, and they didn't really do anything positive, they had just had an idea. Was, do you remember Newt Gingrich came out on the steps and he had the contract with America, and all of those points were excellent ideas. How many of those actually got done?
It ended up being a contract on America, didn't it, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, nothing happened. Right. And Republican, Democrat, you know, when you go into office and within 2 years you're a multimillionaire, something's fishy.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter which side you're on.
We just need just a few more of those conservatives in there. That's really all we need. You know, doggone it, if we could somehow get control of that Senate, what is it, 50-149, man, if we could just roll just a few seats. And, man, Rob, if we could just get just a few more Republicans in there in the House of Representatives, man, we'd have control. And then stuff would really get – then we could get a guy elected like Mike Johnson. We could get a real good Christian guy like Mike Johnson, and then he'd be Speaker of the House, and then all that stuff we'd start pushing back on all that stuff. But I guess, Rob, that'll never happen, huh?
Yeah, well, you see how the Republicans helped Trump when he was in office.
Right.
So it's you're right, though. It is. It's all local. Everything has to be done on a local level. People actually have to get out and do things, which is like pulling teeth. But people are starting to wake up, which I did an article this week for broadcast on the radio. And you know, I've been warning about this homosexual and trans, well, not the transgender especially, but the homosexual issue for the last 25 years, warning people what was coming. They're coming for your kids. It's not going to stay in the big cities. And nobody listened. Now they're listening. Now they're catching on. Now I'm getting phone calls and emails and letters, and people are outraged and panicked because now it's in their town. I had one person contact me, small, mid-sized suburb in the Midwest, and freaked out, totally panicked because they're doing a pride festival and a drag event for the little kids and calling it family friendly, and they're doing it in their little town. And they said, you know, well, I got 300 signatures and I took it to the city council, and but I got there, I was the only one on my side. You know, the room was packed with LGBTQP+ people. And of course the city council went unanimously to go ahead with it.
Yeah, family friendly sodomy. Is that right? Family friendly homosexuality.
Yeah. Well, they've rebranded and remarketed it. In case people haven't noticed, but anyway, so this person, and they also put up a Facebook page, had a lot of people liking it. The page was up there for, I think she said, a total of 6 hours before Facebook took it down, and she couldn't believe they took it down. What about my free speech? What about, you know, diversity of opinion? I said, where have you been? You know, I can say that because I know they're not watching, but you know, where have you people been?
Well, Rob, you know,
and then it came to, let me just finish this point. Sure, and sure. Then it came to, she says, well, I heard you can come and do an alternative Christian event in a park in our town for us. No, that's not how it works. We can show you how. I can give you all the instructions step by step by step and show you how to do it, but we cannot come and do it for you. But so that's as far as that went. But people are waking up. People are freaking out now.
Well, you know, Rob, I have to sit down and look at my calendar to figure out how far back our relationship goes. I'd say probably a decade, 10 years or whatever. And when I first came across you, you were kind of a dinosaur. You were kind of one of those weird guys because you weren't afraid to tell the truth. You had your newspaper, which was not afraid to tell the truth. And we kind of struck up a relationship and a friendship as a result of that. But we began to see, Rob, as you and I became better friends, we both started to blow the horn the same direction. Or, you know, the Bible says the trumpet blast is uncertain who will go to war. And I've made a lot of enemies because I've decided that the local church is the enemy. The local church and the Republican Party are the enemy. It's not the atheists. It's not the God haters. It's not the homosexuals. They're just advancing their kingdom. They're advancing their belief system. We find ourselves in the mess that we're in because if the truth would be told, the Wisconsin Christian News is too Christian for most churches. You would take those. You would, if I have this right, Rob. You would take all those great articles in there and you would go to local churches and you would deliver those papers to them for free that they could hand out to their congregations, that the people in the congregation would get a Christian view of what's going on in the world. And the truth of the matter is, Rob, the pastors would not accept them and would not hand them out to their people. Isn't that true, Rob?
That's exactly right. We've been publishing for 25 years now, and I gave up on the churches 23 years ago. Took me 2 years to figure it out, but basically God told me, you know, I need another church like I need a hole in the head. You need to take these into the public square, into the marketplace, right, and get them to people that are never going to get this information in their churches, because the churches aren't going to let you in anyway. So so that's what we've done, and we are now in addition to Wisconsin, we're in 17 states with bulk distribution, and we have subscribers on all 50, including, plus Puerto Rico. So we ship them to Puerto Rico. So, but yeah, in 25 years in the state of Wisconsin, we have a total of 6 churches that will allow us in.
You deliver them free. You bring the magazine, the paper to them free to give to their congregation. And they refuse to post. They refuse to hand out to the people the Wisconsin Christian News. Is that what you're telling us, Rob?
I got to tell you about Zeta. You probably remember her.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Little old lady. She was in her late 80s and in a wheelchair. And she would deliver 1,500 copies every month. Rain, snow, blizzard. I would meet her to deliver her copies to her. And she just worked like crazy, and she got all her distribution out. She lived to do it. Well, one of her stops was a church. And after she had been doing this for probably 3 years, dropping them off faithfully every month, I got a call from the church secretary. And the secretary said, I just had to call you today. I feel so bad. You know, this little old lady's been coming every month and bringing the newspapers, but I'm instructed as soon as she leaves, they go right in the recycling.
Unbelievable.
And they never, and the pastor would greet her every time she'd come wheeling in her wheelchair with the bundle on her lap and give her a big toothy smile. And, you know, and, but he gave the secretary instructions as soon as she leaves, that goes right in the recycling. So, and
what do you think it is, Rob? What do you think it is? Because,
well, it's the truth. It's, well, we are too controversial.
Rob, I don't want to be an enemy of the church. I know you.
I don't either. I don't see why we need to be. But the truth of the matter is, the pastors are cowards.
Yeah, they are. So Rob, on my morning show, maybe it was yesterday. I can't remember which day it was. That doesn't really matter. I talked about all the ministries that we see going on in churches. You know, they have men's ministries and women's ministries and youth ministries and ministries to the pregnant and ministry to the post-abortive and ministry to the homeless. And we can name them out, right? And I always want to ask a pastor when I run into him, pardon me, who's in charge of the ministry to the culture? Who do I go to if I have some concerns about what's going on in our schools or what's going on in our library? Who, Pastor, who handles that? And Rob, the truth of the matter is there isn't anybody in the church that handles that. Why do you think that is?
They don't want to touch anything that's controversial, anything that's actually, they don't want to touch anything that's relevant, have any effect on the culture.
So, Rob, you mean to tell me that cutting off a little boy's dinger, that's not controversial? They shouldn't get involved. Look, I'm on your side. I'm just trying to help people out there think, what the heck? What the heck is going on? That, see, the Bible says that you, Rob Pugh, and me, Coach Dave, and Ray, and Betty, and Deanne, some of the people that are in it, we are the salt of the earth. We're not the sugar of the earth. We're not the honeycomb, the molasses of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. And it says if the salt loses his savor, it's henceforth good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And Rob, we see that everywhere we look, yet the church still refuses to engage and be the salt with the government, which Christ called us to be. Now, how can you possibly be the salt of the earth if you don't involve yourself in politics and the affairs of government? The separation between the church and state, they lied to us about that. And for the most part, that gave pastors a skirt to hide behind. They said, we'd like to get involved, but we're not allowed to, as if Jesus wouldn't have been involved in politics. Rob, this is really important. Let me finish this thought, because I hear it all the time from people say, Coach, we're not supposed to be in politics. Jesus isn't supposed to be in politics. Jesus wasn't involved with politics. And Rob, I want to turn my hat on sideways and say, what are you talking about? He wasn't involved in politics. Jesus wasn't involved with the Roman government because he wasn't a Roman. When he stood before Pilate and Pilate did his thing on him, he said to Pilate, you have no power over me. You have no power over me. And Pilate sentenced him anyway, because why? Pilate was a Roman. Jesus wasn't a Roman. But who was the government over Jesus? Why, let's see, that would have been the Sadducees and the Pharisees. That would have been the church organization. And by the way, isn't that where he showed up? Isn't that where he first got in trouble with the church leadership, the governing authority over the church? Isn't that where he got in trouble? So for it cost him his life, folks. And for us to say Jesus didn't get involved in politics is just tomfoolery. Foolishness. You couldn't sell that as cheese in Wisconsin, Rob.
Well said. You know, I tried to start the last church that we attended. I tried to start a ministry to the culture. I was an elder on the board there for 8 years before I figured out what was going on. They wouldn't let me do it. I finally figured out they actually had me as an elder on the board so they could keep track of me and make sure I stayed in line. They did take my advice on a couple of things, but mainly it was so they could make sure that I stayed in line and, you know, they had their finger on it. So anyway, we left that place and we went out and started our own thing and started showing Coach Dave shows in a commercial building downtown because they wouldn't let us do it in the church.
Isn't that something? And one of the heroes, just like everything else, one of the heroes all across America in the Christian circles I run in is Matt Truella, a guy right up there in the heart of Wisconsin, right? And what is he doing? He's preaching the hard truth. He's opposing evil. He's showing up out on the streets, and then they're having impact. What kind of impact? He's being hated of all men. In fact, he's being hated by those of his own household. Other Christians don't like Pastor Matt Truella. And all he's doing is standing up for Christ in a culture that's rejected him. Rob, look, I don't want to ride this horse till clear to the end of the show. But friends, if you don't understand that the problem is the American pulpit, not the American politician, if you can't shake your eyes and realize where the problem lies, I really don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I have to defend just about all of my writers. when I meet a pastor, I have to defend just about every one of them, because they've got a problem with this guy, they got a problem with that guy, they got a problem with this guy, you know. And show me where they're wrong. Show me what they said wrong, and they can't. And tell you the truth, they just won't even look at it. So, but well, anybody.
I just want to say publicly, Rob, how much I appreciate you, because you've never, ever censored me. You've never, ever said, Coach, I can't run that commentary. I'm sorry, Coach. That's just a little bit too hard-hitting. Coach, I'm sorry. You never, ever said that to me, ever, for the first time. I'm sure you got emails. I'm sure you got phone calls. But I really, really respect that about you, that still with the Wisconsin Christian News, I have a right to say what I think, whether somebody agrees with it or not.
Speaking of the Wisconsin Christian News, we got nailed yesterday. Our internet servers were attacked, and so we were down from early morning yesterday until early morning today. So if you're trying to get on the website, you couldn't do it. But it's back up and running now. An aside.
Rob, it's funny that you'd say that, because I've had a couple of people text me who are trying to watch the show. It's WCN.TV. Is that where they find it, Rob?
Well, that's a separate one. Okay. WCNTV.net is what it is.
.net. Okay.
WCNTV.net.
I'll get that out to you, because my phone's blowing up. They're wondering, where are you, Coach? Where's Rob Pugh? So I'm going to bear with me.
So I'm pretty sure Jared has his own servers, but the website for WisconsinChristianNews.com is a separate company, and that's the one they got hit. So
we're WCN.net. Is that it, buddy? Is that where they'll find
it? WCNTV.net.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry, man.
Which is actually WisconsinChristianNewsTV.net. But it's WCNTV.net.
Gotcha, man.
There you go. Anybody in our audience have any comments or questions? Weigh in here. Otherwise, I'm going to call on somebody and you're going to be, I'm going to put you on the spot. And I'm looking at a couple of guys here.
How about we get Ray LeBlanc in here and tell us how some of the stuff he's doing right there in the heart of Wisconsin, right?
Ray's the first guy, and then I was going to bring in JR.
Ray, if I can hold on just a second, man. Rob, one of the things that I'm most proud about is that since I started doing Coach Dave Live in the mornings, we've done an unbelievable 2,500 and some shows every morning for over 7 years, is the ministries that we've enabled to pop up. Like, I know JR, I've known Natural Family Foundation, JR, I've known him for 15, longer than that maybe. And Ray LeBlanc just showed up at my house one day. It's like unbelievable how I met him 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know. I lose track of time. But one of the things that's so encouraging about what we do, Rob, is we put guys in the game. And then once they get in the game, then we help support them when they're in the game. And I'm most proud of the fact that a lot of ministries have been encouraged by what we do and have popped up and they're running with the ball. We got a lot of them that are doing that, Rob. And I'm an old football coach. And I learned a long time ago, if you're going to be successful, you get the ball to the players. You get the ball to the guys who score touchdowns. And that's really what we've been trying to do. And I think of Ray LeBlanc. I think of JR. I could rattle off 20 of them who who are actually actively involved now, living out their faith, not waiting for the pastor to come and take them by the hand and lead them down the sidewalk. They've actually gotten out in front of the pastors, and they have thriving ministries. That's why I'm so proud of what Ray's doing with the Natural Family Foundation up here with JR. And all. I think they're both in here today. But yeah. Folks, look, we've got to decentralize Christianity. When you go to church on Sunday, you're not there to do exactly what the guy standing in the pulpit tells you to do. That is not his job, and that's not your job. His job is to train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the work of the ministry. And you ought to go to church on Sunday and get the marching orders and be encouraged and be let other people know what you do so that you can go out and do what you do and have others come and join with you. That's what Ray's done, JR has done, and again, I could rattle off a bunch. Well, you've done it too, Rob, right? You've done it.
Well, yeah, and you know, when you go to church, and I get criticized quite a bit because we don't attend a church regularly.
Yeah, an
institutional church, because I just can't do it anymore. But when you go, you really only have a few options as to what you can do. You can do corporate prayer. You can lead corporate prayer until you say something they don't like, and then you're not asked to do that again. Or right. you can pass the plates, you can work in the Sunday school room. It's all internal.
If you're really anointed, you can do parking lot. You can park cars.
So, but Coach, you're the first guy that I've met that actually teaches people how to do ministry. And, you know, I was doing ministry for, I don't know, 15 years before I met you, but you actually taught me how to go out to the streets, how to actually engage, amen, how to do things in person. And
By the way, that's where the lost people are, isn't it, Rob? The lost people aren't in the church, I don't think.
Yeah.
Lost people are out on the streets. It'd be funny that if you went out there, you might bump into a few of them, wouldn't you think?
Well, you'd be surprised how many are lost within those four walls.
Yeah. He told us to go into all the world, right? He didn't say to go to all the churches. Go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And for the most part, Rob, we know this, that Christian men in particular are not trained in how to walk out their faith. They're not trained in it.
Well, there was a book I read quite a while ago. It was called Why Men Hate Going to Church. And I would recommend y'all to look that up. It's called Why Men Hate Going to Church. And they kind of explained it, you know, back in the old days, back in the pioneer days, the men of the town would get together and build the church. They would actually build the building. But once the building was done, the women took over. And the men had nothing to do. And it's been that way. The men are never asked to do anything other than maybe be a greeter. You can pass the collection plate. You can pass out bulletins. But you're never asked to actually do anything of any substance. So, anyway, let's bring Ray in. Ray took over the ministry that I started in Marshfield and didn't do so well with. And he kept it going and he got it growing. And I'm proud of Ray for what he's done there.
That's been a team effort, hasn't it? And the encouragement all comes from learning how to get into the game in the first place and get overcoming your fears and being encouraged and being guided. That's why what Coach has got coming up at his Sky High event there, that's church to me. The meeting of all the members from across this nation, I mean, from Texas to Maine, that there is a body of believers out there that are engaged. And, you know, we build it up experience from going to Chappaqua, you know, and standing up against the high powers of the Hillary machine and all of that, and having that kind of courage. I keep laughing when Coach did it the very first time by himself, and he tells us, and all the way home, I peed my pants. You know, it was a scary move. You know,
yeah, I asked myself, Ray, what the heck did I just do? Right? I mean, really, yeah. Really, I did.
But well, you want to know a scary move? I remember the first time Coach took us to the Pride Parade in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
There were a total of 22 of us. 22. I think the last time we went, there was over 100, but that first time, 22 of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Interestingly, that was the most fruitful time for me in actually connecting with people. That first time, there were only 22 of us. Yeah. But
yeah, we were ordained with fire there. Holy Spirit fire came upon us. When you're standing up against 500,000 people that are at that parade and involved in it, and you're wearing a red shirt that says two sounds like hate, homosexuality is sin all over you. I mean, you're standing out like a beacon, right? And man, we were going to be attacked. I thought we had the BLM come from behind us and hit the street and try to shut down the parade. Then all the bike police came and parked right in front of us because they drove right through us. And but that adrenaline and the excitement of being there for, we were there for a cause. We were pointing at the crowd and saying, what you're doing is wrong, okay? This is not what America was founded on. You know, we're here to represent our Lord and Savior, and we're here to just share good gospel truth to you. We don't want to see you perishing in hell, but the whole world, like say, wide is the path that leads to destruction, narrow is the way that does it. So
you know the yeah, sad right. thing about that though, Ray, and Coach, is that particular year, I remember the year, that mm-hmm. particular year, there were 40 churches in the parade.
That's yeah. right.
They had signs saying God thinks you're fabulous, and and I wonder what John Wesley would say. I got his quote here, if I can find it. What was his quote? What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. Okay, that's John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. But you know what just happened May 3rd? The Methodist Church voted to accept all forms of homosexuality, transgenderism, and pedophilia. So
and the floodgates are open. The membership is leaving. And by the way, I posted.
Oh, yeah, I just saw an article today. They since May 3rd, they've lost 1 million members.
That's right.
A million.
They don't need to get saved anyway. But Rob, you know, I was thinking about this whole thing through. I get something wrong with my brain sometimes, stuff I think. And I thought, you know, we just celebrated Veterans Day. Well, right? Pearl Harbor Day, D-Day. We just celebrate. Well, celebrate's the wrong word. You understand?
Memory.
Yeah, yeah. So we just celebrated that. One day Memorial Day. One day and a month of Homo Day. And you tell me we're not sick, brother? Is there something wrong with us? All those guys who laid down their lives, stormed Omaha Beach, and Normandy Beach, and left the blood-stained... Man, I'm unbelievable. And we give them one day, maybe one day, maybe a little parade in the morning to the local cemetery, and a month to celebrate sexual deviancy. Dude,
12 months, Coach.
Huh?
12 months.
Well, yeah, it's 12 months. Yeah, amen, amen. So, sorry, guys.
They fly their flag for 1 month, but it's actually 12 months. And that flag, by the way, is a symbol of conquest. Uh-huh. So when you see that flying over your state house or your city hall, that just means they've conquered that particular.
That's a good point. That's thing. A good point, Robin. What do they say? I hear it all the time. Who are you to shove your morality on me? And they cram it down the throat of every kid in public schools and the libraries. Everywhere you look, they're cramming their morality down our throat. And we are the ones running for the hills. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, Rob.
Well, let's bring in JR and... I'm putting you on the spot, JR, because you never raised your hand, but I'm calling on you.
I'll get over it.
Tell us about the Natural Family Festival, first in the nation, and we're doing it.
Yes, sir. I'm really excited about it. And, Coach, 1998, you and I and a couple other fellows in the upper room in Ohio.
Yep.
1998. Wow. Long time ago. And I really, I can't, Rob, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you, Ray, Neil, Coach, Betty. I mean, the list goes on that have really helped this movement grow. the Natural Family Movement.
And don't forget about Harry and Hadassah. They're coming up from Illinois, and they're going to be doing some of our projects for the kids.
Oh, yeah, right, Harry and Hadassah. God bless them, man.
Yeah, I don't know all the players, but I'm just so appreciative. And at the end of June, there's going to be a Natural Family Celebration. But I'm sorry, what is the name of the town?
Marshfield, Wisconsin.
Marshfield, Wisconsin. And what you're doing there is incredible, because it is basically exhibiting the natural family. We're going to have parents and children working together. We're going to have grandparents and children working together. You're going to be teaching children about being entrepreneurs, about working. You've got trades, you've got crafts. It is just one special event that is just incredible. I'm just overwhelmed by what you've done, Rob. I really am.
Sounds like a bunch of bigotry to me.
Well, we're getting that too, but yeah. You know what happened? I had just finished our conference that you were at, Coach, April 12 and 13, I think it was. And I was back on the road doing my distribution route with the newspaper, and Ray called. And I told Ray that I'd be happy to help him with this festival, after the conference. So we got to talking, and he said, well, I kind of think I'd like you to head this up. whoa. I said I'd help. I didn't say I'd head up. And all of a sudden, all these ideas started coming, and they truly Holy Spirit ideas. But one of those ideas was for a lemonade stand. Mm. But instead of just having a lemonade stand, we're going to have a help wanted sign next to it. So kids can come and sign up and take half hour shifts, and whatever they earn, whatever they sell, they get to keep. So it teaches them how to apply for a job, get a job, and earn money. And a little bit of entrepreneurship too. But you know where I got that from, Coach? Got that from a story you told me about your grandson, David.
Oh.
You had him out working in the yard picking up sticks.
That's right.
Tell us about that. Do you remember that story, or should I tell it?
He's only about five years old, you know, and we give kids so much stuff, and kids today really, they're not lacking for anything. And so there were sticks laying around the yard, and I told Davey, said, Dave, here's what Grampy's going to do. I want you to go around and you gather up sticks, and for every stick you gather up, Grampy, I'm going to give you, I don't know, it was a dime, a quarter, I don't know what it was. And he went out there and he came back with about three or four, and I gave him a little bit of money. And I said, David, you can make some money here. There's sticks everywhere. Go pick them up. And boy, oh boy, he went out and gathered all kinds of sticks and brought them back in there. And then we burnt the sticks in the bonfire, and David picked up a little bit of money. And I said, David, don't ever forget this, buddy. Grampy didn't give you that money. You earned it. You earned that money, David. And that's how you get ahead in this world, is you have to go out and earn it. And, you know, that's stuff that JR and Ray and everybody's talking about. We have to teach to the next generation. That's what the kids are not learning, these type of things, especially in today's society, in today's culture, when everything is so easily available to them. So grandfathers in particular, man, what an opportunity, Grandpa, to make a difference in the lives of your grandkids.
Yeah, and if I remember right, he came back the next day and said, can I earn some more money?
Get some more sticks, Grampy.
You know, so that was a lesson learned. But when I started getting the Holy Spirit downloads of these ideas for activities at this festival, I thought of the lemonade stand, and then it went immediately to, let's teach them how to earn money.
Let's
teach them how to get a job.
Outstanding.
You know, so that's how that came about. But that's only one facet of what we're doing. I talked to Isaac today, our Mennonite friend, who's going to be helping us, and all of his crew. And so they're looking forward to doing some of the reading and some of the music. And it's we're including so much here that is natural and wholesome. It's all positive. There's no negatives to anything we're doing. And yet, Ray, I guess we're still getting some backlash there, aren't we?
Well, I put an ad in the local Hub City Times paper, and with my phone number is attached to it. And I got a call questioning Well, exactly. What's going on here with this? What's this natural? Like we're excluding somebody here? You know, they're kind of questioning our motives. But, you know, and I put some of JR's signs around town. The only place that they came down was that two of the churches I talked into putting the signs up in their yard, and they're both gone. And I battled one of our local Quick Trips. I put that poster back up on the festival, you know, the flyer. I must have been 12, 15 times. Every day, somebody in there hated it, and they came and ripped it down off the wall. Finally, they caught him on camera, and they kicked him out of the store. But, yeah, there's some conflict going on. And you know what, Rob and Dave and the rest of you guys, this is going on, our event, June 29th, 3-4 blocks away. This gay pride with their drag queens is going to be on stage front and center as well. And it's been very quiet in Marshfield regarding their event. Usually they're boisterous and proud, and I'm not hearing a pipsqueak from them. So I think we're making some impression and some threat to their whole movement, that people in Marshfield and across the nation are fed up with having this stuff thrown down our throats every month of June. And we're sick of it. And it's a big movement going on. I've seen the NFL starting to resist and say, right, we're staying neutral, you know? So, you know, all of our efforts combined together are making an impact. So don't lose heart.
Well, the whole point of this festival is to give the city a stark contrast between that event and our event. What would you rather have for your community? And we'll just see. Maybe nobody's going to come.
One thing, Rob, I did get the Mayor Lois. She's going to read JR's proclamation out front. I'm going to make up a big proclamation placard. And she's going to read that whole thing right in front of everybody. It's all be filmed. So she will read it. She told me already that she would read the proclamation too.
You know, Rob, words mean things. Words have meaning. And I wonder if you could just take a couple minutes and let JR explain why natural family is so much more important than traditional family. When he first, you know, when he first came up with this idea, you know, I'm thinking traditional family, right? Mom and a dad. But JR said, oh, no. Traditions are changing rapidly. Why did you go with the idea of a natural family, JR?
Yeah, JR, and then we're going to bring in Harry because he's had his hand up for a while.
I'm sorry, Harry. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's a great question. The options were modern, traditional, nuclear. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit put natural in me. And natural family, it seems a little cumbersome. I mean, you're not used to saying natural, it's traditional or nuclear, but natural is beautiful because number one, it is self-defining and it's invulnerable. It is what it is. I mean, it is nature. You can't change it. It's always there. And the natural family is that one biological man, one biological woman, lifelong, committed, monogamous relationship with their children, biological or adopted. And it's just so clear. Saying natural, when you first hear it, it's like, well, wait a minute, why not traditional or why not? Well, if you look up Encyclopedia Britannica right now, nuclear has included homosexual marriage.
Yeah.
Traditional marriage was, 200 years ago, it's different than it is now. And 100 years at the rate we're gone, if we even have marriage at that time, it's going to look a whole lot different. Natural. It's undeniable. It's undeniable. It's there. It's in your face.
Say it again, JR. One natural. Give the title again on natural. What is it?
One biologically born man, one biologically born woman, and a lifelong, no divorce, committed relationship with their biological and or adopted children. Monogamous relationship, lifelong monogamous relationship. And if you know, implied in that is, if before you get married, there's no such thing as taking that car out and test driving it. Okay, when you get married, and the spouse with you is married, It should be a clean slate. And I'm telling you right now that God has instilled in us an incredible, powerful feeling once you consummate that marriage. It's something you never forget.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Harry, come on in. Hello, Harry.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the church. This is a little short clip that Hadassah pulled out. This is dated in 2020. But in Luke 14, the wealthy man wanted to have a big banquet, and nobody would show up. So he sent the servants out on the streets to get anybody to show up that would. So what they ended up with was crippled, blind, lame, whores, criminals, losers, homeless, alcoholics, drug addicts, penniless, and poor. A large table full of mangy, filthy, uncouth, uncivilized social rejects, none of whom was supposed to be there. And this, we are told, is a parable of God's true church.
Yep. Yep. You're going to be surprised. When you find out who's the real deal and who's not.
JR, if I could, again, Rob, I don't mean to jump in here, Rob. I interrupt.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I interrupt for a living, I tell people.
That's good.
I'm just curious, JR, what's been, what kind of cooperation have you gotten from pastors, JR, local churches? Have they jumped in with both feet on this and see this as an opportunity to push back against this wicked gay agenda that's flooding everywhere? You get any support? Maybe Jim walked away there. He's muted. But I think that's a.
Let me tell you, Coach. I put together this step-by-step guide that people can request, and so I've been sending those out. I've sent out probably a dozen of them now, and I know for sure that at least six of those had to go ask their pastor if they could do it. And never heard from them. I never heard from four of them. Two of them said, Pastor said no. So there you are. This is not something that you need to do through your church. We're not doing it through a church. We're doing it as individuals, just individual people coming together and doing it. And anybody can do it. And it's easy. I've got the instructions for you. So... If I go down the list of instructions, put one, do step one, do step two, go down the list, and you got a festival before you know it. So, but Coach, this is just one ministry that you have birthed out of Past the Salt. There have been so many others.
Let me stop there real quick, Rob, because first of all, I'm a coach. And the job of a coach is to teach a team how to play, right? Teach them how to play. Yep. And if you look at a guy like Ray LeBlanc, Ray may not have the same skill set as a guy like Rob Pugh. And Rob Pugh may not have a skill set the same as our producer, Jonathan. But every one of us are gifted in some way. And when I was a football coach, I would always, when I would evaluate our team, I would look at a guy and say, wow, that guy's 6'4". There's a tight end, man. There's a tight end. There's an offensive tackle. And that guy there, he might be a nose man. One of the most important things that I would do as a coach is identify where those guys ought to play. I'd recognize their skill set. What was it they were good at? And say, hey, but how about, I know you want to be quarterback, but really, I think you probably – better off at a wide receiver. Let's put you out at wide receiver because you'll better help the team in that situation. Rob, that's not done in our churches at all. And there are so many skill sets, men who probably want to serve the Lord, but don't have any idea where to begin. They don't think they don't think they have the education. They're not ordained. They're not seminary trained. What can I possibly do? And as a result, they sit around with their doing whatever you do with your thumbs and don't know how to actively live out their faith. So what I do as the coach, I find a guy like Ray LeBlanc who wants to be a blitzing strong safety, and I help him get in the game, right? Try to equip him to go do that. And you take a guy like JR, he doesn't need a lot of coaching. He just needs some support. And those are the I don't want to call them ministries that we've launched, because it's not. Those ministries were already present in those guys, and we just gave them an opportunity to flourish. You talk about Neil and Mary up there in Wisconsin and all the wonderful work that they've done with marriages. And now, boom, how they've locked arms with JR and the natural family movement, all this kind of stuff. We, Rob, we have got every skill that we need sitting in any church on any given Sunday. But the pastors have done a lousy job of identifying their skill and plugging them in where they can be most effective. The last thing I want to do, I'm a type A guy. You've probably picked that up. Last thing I want to do is be an usher. I don't be no usher.
Right.
There are plenty of guys that can be ushers, and God bless them. And I don't want to be in the praise team. You show me where the devil is nipping, that's where I want to go. But for the most part, the ministry for a guy like me is not available anywhere in the local church. And that's where I think that's our the niche that we have. A guy like Ray and a guy like JR, they can plug into where we are, and their ministry can grow and thrive because of the support that our body of believers bring to them.
Well, and just an example of that, like I said, I've had these people that have contacted me and wanted to do a festival, a natural family festival, but they go and ask their pastor, and yeah. No, you can't do that. That's the difference, okay? That's the clear, stark contrast difference. People go to you, they've got the ministry within them, they've got the desire to do it, they want to do it, and you encourage people to do it. You not only encourage them, but you support them, and you show them how in certain.
We coach them a little bit. Say, yeah, maybe you ought to try. Don't do this. Try this. And
right.
We coach them because we've been through it, right?
You don't just say, no, you can't do that.
I'm sorry. No. And can I tell you why that is? My strong belief is, with the exceptions of guys like Matt Tuella and Jason Storms, most of the pastors themselves have never really done their own personal street ministry to understand how to do it. So you can never teach what you have not done. That's what I think, Rob. And, you know, we've been in a period of time up until the 2000s where being a minister wasn't very combative, you know. It was a pretty easy gig. And, you know, we had all that prosperity message going through and all, best life now, yada, yada. Been easy to be a pastor in that. But when we wake up and realize that we're in a war and it takes a General MacArthur type attitude rather than a Billy Graham type attitude, things change a little bit. And we are now in a wartime posture. Folks, if you can see that Christianity is under attack and we are in a war right now, we need generals. We don't need nursemaids. And most of the guys standing in the pulpits are nursemaids because that was the training they received when they first went into the ministry.
Yeah. Ray, can you tell us, do we have any support from the local churches in Marshfield for this event?
None. Only one was one that Coach Dave ordained a while back was Bill Berkowitz up in Medford Old Country Church. Mm. He's on board. I went to three churches. I'm very limited to get them involved and engaged, you know, the frustration. I've had better luck with Wenzel. Our park here is Wenzel Park. The Wenzel family contributed a large amount of sound. So did Rail Trucking. And both of their names, Wenzel and Rail, are on top of the pavilion at Wenzel Park. And I took a picture of that with their names there. And right underneath that is a drag queen with his butt cheeks sticking out there, gyrating in front of a little child. And I showed them that, and they were just aghast, and they supported them a bit. So I got their support, and those are two big names in our little town of Marshfield that have influence. And I went to the city council and the school board members. What I'm trying to do is get the leadership in our city to get on board with this movement. And that way, you know, we can move further down the agenda with this. But no, the support from the churches is mute. And
oh,
I'm knocking on their door and pleading on board.
Yeah. You cut out there for a little bit, Ray, but Rob, you're talking about getting a hold of the leadership. The pastors should be the leaders. They should be the ones on the front lines. They should be the ones leading the people out of the church house to our event. And sad, but
so Rob, let me say this, because I don't want to make enemies of pastors. I don't want to. But I'm speaking to those of you who are out there who understand that something is wrong. And I would say this to you. If you can't get the approval of your pastor, do it anyway. Look,
you're going to. What I always did.
We're all going to stand before the Lord and give an account. We're going to stand before the Lord and give an account for what we did. And I'm going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say, Coach Dave, what did you do down there about the fact that they were cutting off the sexual appendages of little children? What did you do? You said, well, Lord, I went to my pastor, and he told me that we shouldn't get involved. That ain't gonna be much of an excuse, is it, Rob? So I'm gonna stand before the Lord, not gonna say, Lord, I did this, man. I started making phone calls, I started going to meetings, I started talking to others. I did to the best of my ability. And he's gonna say, well done, my good and faithful servant. See, people, look, one of the greatest lies that they've told us in Christianity is that you don't get to heaven by works. And we all know that. You don't get into heaven by works, but you know this, at the great white throne judgment, we stand before the Lord and we're judged out of those things written in the books. What's written in the books? The things that you've done. So works matter. Works matter because why? They're evidence of your fidelity to the Lord. And I'll be daggone if I'm not going to serve the Lord simply because some pastor is too afraid to do it and tells me we're not supposed to get involved.
Well, you know, it's not only that they don't encourage you, they discourage you from actually doing things. I can't tell you how many pastors have discouraged me from being associated with Coach Dave, or being associated with Doug Hagman, or being associated with Matt Truella. Stay away from those guys. They're radicals.
Yep.
So you know who I think I'm going to stay away from? I think I'm going to stay away from you.
I don't want to make people nervous, but the Bible does say this, that broad is the way and narrow is the gate. Many come and few find it. And there's going to be a lot of us, the Bible says, going to stand before it on that day and say, Lord, Lord, in your name, didn't we cast out devils? And didn't we lay hands on the sick? And didn't we do all these wonderful ministry things and feed the poor? And he's going to say, God, pardon me again. Who are you? Have we met? He said that, Rob. I didn't say that. The Lord said that, right? And I know this. I love the Lord, and I serve the Lord. I serve. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I take wait not to be sit around and twiddle my thumbs and wait. I'm like a waiter in a restaurant. I wait upon the Lord. When I wait upon him, it renews my strength. I want to go out and do it again. I know Ray would testify that. JR would testify that. You would testify that. And I just want to encourage all the viewers who are watching right now. If you go live out your faith, your strength will grow. It will multiply. And you'll become a far greater, more powerful Christian than you ever imagined possible.
Well said. Well said. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks in Ohio. And folks, share this program. We're down to our last minute or so. Share the program, if you would. We cannot get it. Well, we could, but we're not going to mess with it. If you're on Facebook, share the link on Facebook and just see how long it'll stay up. But share it with your friends. And if you're watching on Rumble, just hit the thumbs up. It takes 1 second. I know you're watching on Rumble, but you know, we got all these people watching on Rumble, but we have one or two that actually click the thumbs up.
Amen.
Just click little thumbs up, because that really does help us. And just to close things out here, it's CoachDaveLive.com. You want to tune in from 6 to 7 a.m. Central Time, or 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern Time if you get to sleep in, if you're living over there. So CoachDaveLive.com. And you can actually go there anytime and watch all the previous shows, or you can join the show live like you're doing right now, if you go there when the show is live. 6 to 7 a.m. Central, 7 to 8 Eastern. So CoachDaveLive.com. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. Thank you, Ray.
Yep.
JR, Harry, Betty, Russ, Deanne. And I can't see all the names on the list, but thank you guys. I will, I'm going to be on the road next week. Dr. Mike will be here. I'll be back in 2 weeks with Jamie Walden. We'll see you then. God bless.
Thanks, Rob.